We're recording.
Hello and welcome to Peas in a Podcast without the
Peas
tea.
in a podcast, not pee
as
in a podcast, which is a pregnancy podcast.
Peas.
Peas.
In a podcast.
That's right. Don't confuse us on iTunes.
I mean, it's a cliche.
Please.
You can't patent a cliche. Like Windows, you can't. Oh, wait. Trademark. Welcome to our show. It's the Wyatt and Tracy Peas in the podcast. In today's show, we're going to talk about calligraphy.
Calligraphy.
Because I am suddenly inspired.
And I am an old-handed calligraphist.
Why don't you tell me about your calligraphy?
Calligrapher.
Calligrapher. What is calligraphy?
Calligraphy is writing.
I saw that it comes from the Greek, that calligraphy is beautiful writing.
Beautiful
so calig
writing, that's what I was
is
saying.
Like beauty, and
not
then
like Caligula,
who was the emperor, Caesar.
Right.
Caligula.
Well, I've done multiple types of calligraphy because I'm well versed in the arts.
Well, I remember you
back
had the,
in my days of gifted and talented class when I was super popular.
All right, Mensa girl.
I decided to do calligraphy as my project.
If you don't know, Tracy is in the top 0.01% of the population in terms of IQ.
That might be true, and that might not be true.
It's true. She just doesn't really care.
So I taught myself calligraphy along with my art instructor for my project. It was English calligraphy. I was just learning, so I didn't go into too much depth. But I got the little brushes that you would get, and you get little ink cartridges that actually turn into the metal tips, so that way.
Brushes or pens?
Well, they're pens. I'm sorry, not brushes. I just called them brushes because I was getting confused. Anyway, so that way the ink is just loads itself onto the pen, and you don't have to dip it in, which are the old styles where you would dip it into an actual ink well or something.
Remember Dr. Luther always talking about how Martin Luther through inkwell at the devil, there'd be some stain of the ink on the wall as wherever he was going. And
he loved that.
He just loved the Germans, man.
He loves Germans.
Luther was
he's German, man. Anyway, and later on in college, I dabbled in Japanese calligraphy because I learned from a master sensei. And I also only had to write a one-page paper for the whole class, and I got an A in it, so it was sweet. And in that one, you actually use a brush. That one's kind of weird because you get into a bunch of Zen Buddhist stuff and you're trying to align the molecules with your thought, and how like the great calligraphy people, if you would actually analyze their writing with like electron microscope or something, you would see that all of the charges were lined up in the same way or something ridiculous because their Zen was so in line.
I'm shaking my head right now.
I wasn't really into that. I like doing that sort of got into watercolor and painting too. You do like the trees, like the evergreen pine trees, but you also would do the characters. But there's that's also considered calligraphy.
Is watercolor an Asian art? I thought they didn't really paint as much.
Yeah, they do watercolor.
Yeah, I don't know.
Black ink.
You know,
I guess my glass is technically called black ink.
It's very similar to calligraphy. Watercolor, just because of like the permanence of it, and you have to do it right exactly the first time. I saw this cartoon today. It was this scribe with the traditional monk haircut with the like
balding
in the top, but it's like shaved, so there's like a ring around your head. And he writes, "In the beginning was the verb," with a B instead of a D.
What's a verb?
It's a misspelling of the word. But the idea with like this, the
oh, because he wrote
calligraphy,
it wrong.
If you write the wrong letter, you scratch the whole page, don't you? You have to start all over.
Yeah, it really stinks. I used to do when I did calligraphy, old English calligraphy. I used to make cards and posters, and you'd start writing this card, and you draw like the little lines, so you make sure it's perfectly straight.
Yeah.
And spend all this time, and then by the time if you get slanted or off on one letter or you mess up, you know the black you can't erase it.
Yeah.
So it's. It can be frustrating, especially if you're writing a whole page. How if you're writing like a whole painting? I used to do like sayings or things that were in paintings. So if you screw up, especially You don't paint it until after you've actually gotten the words right on there, because then you can screw up the whole darn thing.
That's interesting, because that's very opposite of the cards you've been making recently, the wire cards.
Yeah, I'm into the wire cards. I'm into reusing things right now. It's my green nature coming out of me and my recycling.
You like to make like green frogs and things turtles. Like that. Turtles. Green turtles. That's what she means by green. Turtles and frogs.
No, I meant green bike. Environmentally friendly.
No, you're like,
no, I just no, don't. I didn't mean turtles and frogs. I'm just cheap and I'm like, what crap do I have around the house that I can make someone a car? I'm just joking. It's my natural outflowing of creativity.
Yeah. The calligraphy is really interesting. So the reason why I got into this is I met someone with my church the other day. There was a men outing. And the guy is doing calligraphy of Romans from the ESV. It's really interesting. It's kind of inspired me to want to look into this. I never really had interest in calligraphy, but like in my mind, I have these pictures of these beautiful pages of the Bible that the first letter is
humongous,
and it has all these like ivory and leaves and stuff coming off.
Yeah, I could do something like that.
This one I think about a little bit more of like the drawing of it, like the detail. And I guess what calligraphy really is more of like about the strokes and making, it's more of like kind of like a, what do you call it when you fight with swords? I don't remember.
Jousting.
Whatever, like when people are fencing or whatever, like you have to get right strokes with the sword. It's kind of like with the pen. Anyways, you were talking about how you had to make the strokes always have to go down and around the circle.
Yeah, you never would, like, when you normally write how you go down and go back up again, you never do that.
Every continuous line.
One cursive. Letter could be a few different strokes to create it. It's not just one continuous stroke. I can't think of a letter that's one continuous stroke off the top. Well, obviously an L, a lowercase L. But other than that, I can't think of another letter that's like...
Right.
Because even an O,
or Z,
to make an O, you have to do two strokes. You do one down and then one down on the other side. It's not like one big loopity loop.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a Z.
Because you have to get the nice 45-degree angle slant on the letter.
Right, that's true.
And that's just basic. I mean, there's much more complex stuff than that.
Yeah, I really don't understand it. I probably have to
I'll have to get my books from home. I don't know if I brought any with me. I think they're still at Impella. We need to ransack them next time we're in Impella.
Right.
Before they get thrown out with all the rest of my stuff.
Yeah, I brought up a bunch of things I've been interested in, like the whole idea of learning about scriptures and how they came to be. And I've been thinking a lot about Deuteronomy, about how the kings are supposed to make their own copy. I don't know if it's of Deuteronomy or of like the whole Torah. I think it was Deuteronomy.
Probably the Torah.
It's probably the whole Torah. I bet it was everything he wrote.
I don't know.
I mean, you live a long time. It doesn't take that long. I mean, it takes a long time.
So yeah, but if you're not watching TV, you got 28 more hours of your week back.
Yeah, seriously.
So they have plenty of time to write the whole copy down.
Well, when I was trying to write a book, just
wouldn't
learning,
that be great?
I'd write about 3 pages a day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 30 pages in Numbers, 30 chapters about. And then there's 60 chapters in Genesis, that's 90. Leviticus, I don't remember, I think it was 30.
Yeah.
So it's 120, and the Deuteronomy is like 40.
40-something.
So there's 180.
Isaiah is like 60.
So there's 180 chapters in the Torah about, I think. Did I include Exodus? I don't remember. I don't think I did
Exodus.
I was
just thinking, so finish
220,
your thought,
220 pages, say it's 21, 210 just to make it easy. So if you divide by 3, it's 70 days worth of work. In 70 days, you could probably make a good copy of the whole Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like spending probably a couple hours a day.
Well, I was just thinking about, we watched Jonah.
VeggieTales.
VeggieTales movies on Hulu.com.
Hulu.
I recommend it. You do. It's a free movies and TV that are legitimately published through the networks, but they have commercials. Anyway.
Right. It's like normal TV.
And then the movie, of course, Jonah, otherwise, a.k.a. Asparagus.
Jonah the Asparagus.
I just really enjoyed like the idea of living in the tent, and he got messages from the Lord.
You love tents,
and I do love tents. I wish I could live in a tent. And he wrote by candlelight, and they're on the ship. I always had these dreams or fanciful ideas about being on a ship with candlelight, and voyaging somewhere.
I also
Doesn't
had
that
idea.
Seem like that would be a great... Because it just seems like that's the time when you would write calligraphy, you know, if you lived in a tent and you had just candlelight. What else would you do but write calligraphy?
Probably throw up.
No, not if you're not in the boat. I'm just thinking. That's what it reminded me of.
I need
of.
An orange. Because you get scurvy if you don't have orange.
I like oranges.
They're not green, though.
Limeade is.
Lime.
Oh, that just reminds me.
You can have lime. Lime would work.
Headed by limeade concentrate.
You can have lime. Limes are green.
So.
Yeah. So calligraphy. Like, I was looking online. Like, I really have been interested in the Bible, but all the different translations. Because, like, really to understand the Bible, you have to think about, like, people copied this over and over. You know. The guy that I met, he was like, people spent their whole lives just basically copying the word and doing art on these things, which I think is really amazing. It's kind of a shame.
I'd like to do that, man. Sign me up.
I mean, it's really good because we have the Gutenberg Press that allowed us the mass publication of the word. I read this other book called In the Beginning by Alistair McGrath. It's on my blog.
It is on your blog.
I know I'm posting my blog. I don't mean to, but it's just like, I just wrote it, so it's fresh in my mind. So you can look it up there. But it's interesting, like the idea that it costs about 3 years of wages to buy a copy of the Bible, and now you can almost get it for free. But like those pages were handwritten, you know, all those old Bibles they find that are in Greek, someone actually wrote those out.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
So there's this fragment in the Dead Sea Scrolls that they think is Mark, because they would copy the, you know, the Greek over and over in the same size pages whenever. So they looked at them. They found this fragment, and the letters are all arranged the same way, and there's letters in the opposite side. And the only document that we know to existence to have those patterns is Mark, and it matches up to some pages in Mark. And this is kind of like due to the scribal people having copied over and over by hand these computers to match it up. I mean, I don't know if it really is or not.
Sure.
I mean, it is legitimate that somehow it might have, like, fell into their massive collection.
We shall see, won't we?
Yeah.
So we're going to break out the calligraphy after we hit the library books.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I have reservations about is we have to pay the money to buy all the tools. But
well, I've got some at home. I'll have my parents mail them. Actually, I'll have my parents bring them to me when I meet up with them.
Oh, that might be a good idea.
Chi-Town in a month.
Oh, you know what? You should take a bag with you so you can check your luggage.
That's what I said I'm
going
to do.
So maybe that's a good thing you're going back for that wedding.
Well, I'm getting my immersion blender, which is killing me because I want to make hummus and soups that are not erudite. And that just reminded me. So calligraphy items, I'll have them. My mom will get it for us. Anyway, we're totally just like taking...
We're taking notes as we're podcasting. Well, I think the calligraphy is good because it's like you were reading about how we're so addicted to entertainment and digital content. It was also, I think...
I like it
because
it's kind of crafty. I kind of made it into a craft because I would make, you know, Hallmark cards out
of
it.
Well, part of the reason we got into podcasting was, like, I wanted to do something that was off the computer. I mean, obviously, the podcast is still linked to the computer.
Mm-hmm.
But we're physically not on any computer right now. There's no monitor involved.
It's just you and me and the microphones.
Yeah, and
two
the readers.
Two turntables and a microphone.
What were you singing, Ice Cube, earlier?
Bone Thugs and Harmony. Tell me what you're gonna do when there ain't nowhere to hide when judgment comes. That was the theme of the day.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to the radio today. It was like R&B rap. Every song is about having sex with a hooker. My girlfriend's a hooker. I'm gonna go visit her at work and have sex with her.
You know, I think that's a phenomenon with these like pussycat dolls. I don't know much about them. All I know is they sing scandalous songs about them being sluts.
Burlesque shows.
I don't know. It's like culturally acceptable. This is the whole thing we've been reading about, like how culture has shifted into this, like, you know, there's no morals anymore and there's no...
I have a hard time understanding why a woman would ever want to listen to these songs that would really put them down, but it's ultimately...
Well, it's
to
this
be
whole
like...
third wave of feminism that I was telling you about, too. Now, women are more... It's like porn positive, and like women are exploiting men. They're exploiting themselves. You know, like before it was like, you know, porn's not good. You're exploiting women, but now women are using it to their advantage and exploiting themselves to do economic gain, you know, or, you know, they want to be in Playboy to make lots of money. And
something like Jezebel.
Yeah. Or they want to be on the hills and MTV and be a famous actress because they're exploiting them. Nothing that's really even artistic. It's not really artistic at all. It's just pure pornography, pretty much. If you strip it down to what they're, you know, they're only on there because they're young, beautiful, you know, women. They're not have, it's not anything else besides that.
Yeah. It's like the voice of the world, pretty much, in music. I mean, you know, we were thinking about how is it that America has totally forgot all of history up until, like, you know, maybe 50 years ago. I mean, all of music and culture is as if it's always been this way, you know. And music seems to drive the culture, but I don't really know what's driving the culture now. It's definitely has changed pretty rapidly since I was in even high school.
Right.
We just didn't even realize it.
Yeah. Just didn't look at it in that way.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it kind of gets into this whole idea of tolerance. I like this verse by D.A. Carson. He said that people used to know that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believed in him will not perish but have eternal life, was the most well-known.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's like, you know, you don't judge so that you won't be judged.
Lest you be judged.
But no, he said that no one knows where that Bible verse is from. You know, but that's what is the most famous one now because of this idea of tolerance, that we have to tolerate all other views, we have to endure no matter what people believe because there's no preferred perspective.
It's the idea that all views are equal and you're just choosing which one you think is best for your life.
So Christians aren't allowed to tell people, like before Christians were like, you know, I'm going to love you even though you're doing the wrong thing, and I'm going to show love towards you. But now it's like I'm not even allowed to tell you that you're doing something wrong. And so it's kind of tough. Like, how do you evangelize in that situation? I mean, I guess we're in another culture too, being in Seattle than we were before. You look like I'm going off the deep
sorry.
End. Phasing out? Where are we? What's going on? Where am I? So we were trying to talk about tolerance.
We were talking about tolerance.
You had some insights about some podcast or something you had listened to this week.
Well, Greg Kokel on StandToReason.org.
STR.org.
STR.org, if you will. He's a modern day apologist or philosopher, if you will. And basically he was talking about how intolerance is the new tolerance or something. Tolerance is a new intolerance. Anyway, that basically how people think if you're being intolerant then you're tolerant. I'm totally confused right now. basically, you know, like, if you were to say a statement like, you know, all views on such and such are basically the same, or if you say, I'm sorry, I can't do this right now. I can't gather my thoughts together. I'm confusing myself. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing.
It's not confusing. I'm just trying to reiterate an argument I just read a minute ago. But articulate.
I guess that's kind of confusing. Is tolerance really intolerance?
Because basically,
it's kind of like saying you have
if
to
you
tolerate
have a,
things.
If you have a view, technically you're intolerant in quotations, but that's considered tolerant because if your view is that all things are equal or all things are, you know, the same, then you're considered tolerant, even though that's a view that could be considered intolerant.
Yeah.
But if you take the view that your way is the right way and all other views are wrong, then you are considered intolerant.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to think on that.
Well, how do you be tolerant unless you have a view at all in the first place? You know, if you don't have any kind of view
at all.
Yeah,
it's more of like tolerance is now whether you don't, whether it's like, okay, that's fine, you're fine, we're fine, you know, the view, there's no... It's the whole thing of there not being absolutes of this right or wrong. It's like it's tolerant if you're right or if you just can agree to agree. But really, what tolerance is more of like an attitude of you know, you're not going to kill the person, or you're not going to, you're not going to discuss things in a respectful manner. You're not going to go cut someone's head off if they don't believe what you believe, but you still believe, you still will express that this is right and that they're doing is wrong.
Yeah, well, I was getting into this Francis Schaeffer book that I'm, that you're reading right now, and the idea is like, well, you know, they used to say that I'll tell you something is wrong, or no, it was going into atheism. It's like when you were atheist before, you're atheist against the Christian God, but now it's more like atheist against whatever God in general.
Right.
So, like, if I were to say, well, it's wrong to do X because the Bible says so, or when it's wrong to do X, and then people realize, well, that's because the Bible says so, and we don't agree with the Bible, whatever. But now it's kind of like, what are you talking about, right or wrong? There is no right and wrong. Anyways, this is a really this is a really difficult subject.
Yeah, we haven't fully.
And we don't really understand
what we're talking
what's
going about
on.
Right now.
But like, my point is like, you know, as a Christian, and I usually operate in the mode that by being tolerant, it means that I'm going to say to you, this is wrong, but I'm not going to like punish you for it or do something to seek vengeance, because vengeance is the Lord's. You know, it's not mine
right.
to repay. It's God's to repay. But that still involves like standing up like the apostles did and say, you know, whether I'm right or wrong, you know, to tell you you're wrong, I have to do what God says, regardless of what you are telling me to do. But now what our culture is kind of like turn that on us, you know, don't judge lest you be judged, in the sense that I can't tell anybody else they're doing anything wrong.
Well, you know,
at all.
Like if your cousin's sleeping with a monkey, most people would be like, stop sleeping with that monkey, you know, that's wrong.
Right.
But if you're sleeping with your girlfriend, most people are like, well, that's just the way it is now, you know.
It's culturally acceptable.
That's acceptable. That's fine. Okay, fine, whatever. We won't say anything about that. Even if you would think that was wrong, but since the culture, even if you personally think it's wrong, but the culture accepts it, you're going to take what the culture accepts over what you think. You aren't going to say anything because you don't want to disapprove of what the culture is saying.
Yeah.
But the culture on the whole probably agrees that you shouldn't be sleeping with animals or something.
But that's just for now. Who knows where it
Well,
could
exactly.
Go.
But I'm just saying for now. So then you can, it's okay then, because it's culturally acceptable to say to stop doing that. So then it's fine for you to say that.
Yeah.
Because that's more of the whole general wave of what tolerance is described as now.
So it's interesting. Like, I don't know how it happened, but suddenly Christianity is like, well, it's true for us. So within the Christian community, I'm allowed to judge other Christians and help them and say you're doing something wrong. But outside of Christ, I'm not allowed to say anything at all, as if they were totally entitled to do what they're doing. It's kind of like ignoring the fact that God is the God of everything. And, you know, God is one, part of the Shema, and that all things, you know, ultimately are under his control. Like, I'm reading Isaiah today. It's been interesting. Like, universal truth that God has created everything and all things give testimony that God has created all things.
Even shark eggs. That look like seaweed.
That look like seaweed.
And hatch after 9 months.
Give testimony that God is God. So I think you kind of get the idea of where we're going. So we can talk more about the sharks that you saw. What is going on with these sharks? They don't know up and down, left and right.
Sharks are crazy, man.
Seaweed spiral eggs.
I watched Unlocking the Mysteries of Sharks the other day.
Oh, goodness.
From Nature. It was only an hour long. I got a lot of information out of it and learned the mysteries of sharks. And they are one crazy breed of animals. They don't know how to really make babies, but they do make babies once in a while that look like seaweed. But sometimes a mollusk might come and suck their baby out of their shell before they're hatched. They're very crazy. You gotta watch this stuff. It's just like, what the heck is going on underneath the ocean? You know, all of a sudden the turtles attacking the shark. I saw an octopus eat a shark the other day at the aquarium.
What?
I told you about this. It was on YouTube.
What?
They kept finding these shark carcasses at the bottom of the aquarium. They're like, what's killing these sharks? You know, it's one of those like standard aquariums they have at a lot of you know, city aquariums. And it turned out the giant octopus would eat the shark, and they wouldn't expect that to happen. You know, they expect that the shark would eat them, would eat the octopi. So it's just crazy stuff going on down there. I mean, there's this open water. That's what I was like. There was a ship. Ships drop stuff when they travel, and the ship had dropped a mango into the open water, like nothing for a bazillion miles. And all of a sudden, the shark, you know, is going 1 million miles per hour, just going around trying to find food.
Tracy loves sharks.
And it hadn't been eating for a while, so then it attacks the mango, the tiny little mango. You know, you can squish it with your own hands. So it tries to attack it. It realizes, oh, I don't like mangoes, and spits it back out. But then it tries again because it hasn't eaten anything, and it spits it back out again. It's like, it's crazy. What in the world is going on down there?
Yeah. Well, we've been in some discussions lately, like what is the purpose of these stars and creation way beyond the visibility of man? What are they doing out there?
What's going on underneath the ocean? Where's Leviathan at, you know?
Yeah. We've been in Leviathan quite a bit. Behemoth, those two creatures have been pretty interesting. We're
I
reading through
mean,
the Old
I
Testament,
want to
so we
get
think
eaten
about
by a
them.
whale and figure out what's going on down there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nineveh's pretty interesting. It described them as like thousands of people that didn't know right from wrong.
Fish slappers.
The VeggieTales says they're fish slappers. That was pretty creative, you know, because they worship the fish, the Dagon or whatever. You know, so they
That was
turned them into fish
hilarious.
slappers.
I'm a VeggieTales
Fish slapping!
convert. I only watched VeggieTales for the first time last year, and I think they're
They're
amazing.
awesome. Well, you know, I used to do this like online ministry with this chat program called MIRC
Yes,
or
I saw
Mer
you online as a
Yeah.
founding father.
The patriarch. Just kidding. One of the default like actions you could do was like slap someone with a large trout.
Oh, really?
That was like the pun of IRC.
I was on
Anyways.
IRC, but for illegal reasons, which I cannot discuss at this moment.
Which we repented of and no
That's right, they're
longer endorse
destroyed.
in any way.
Yeah,
So don't prosecute us, because there's nothing to prosecute.
well, I don't know what IRC is.
Into relay chat. Anyways.
Don't chase me down anymore, Dean of IT.
The Dean! This is Animal House. Yeah, well, you know, the sharks are interesting.
But
You
we're
know.
reading a lot lately.
Oh, yeah?
The sharks was my interlude the other night while you were gone, and I made myself homemade mac and cheese in a cast iron skillet. Because that's what I do when you're gone.
I'm not gone very much.
You're not. But we're trying to read more because we
Yeah.
realized that we need to read more because TV
Do
is vain,
you want to talk about your
and
book?
turn thou eyes away from that which is vanity is
Can
a
you
good
reach that book
idea.
over there?
Which book?
The book you're reading?
Francis Schaeffer?
Yeah.
I thought we were
Which
discussed
one?
it.
Well, I thought you were bringing it up.
No, I was just bringing up reading in general.
Yeah, I'll grab it here. Oh, here it is right now.
Well, just
Let
like
me just
we
kind of
were
flip
reading
through it real
Prince
quick.
Caspian, we didn't just go see the movie. We were reading the book
Yeah, we
before.
did. Oh, wait, I'm
And
actually holding Prince
it was
Caspian
quite
right now.
enjoyable, you know, to read out loud. You miss these kind of things.
And I turn to the page and it says, Tracy is the DLF, known as the Dear Little Well, I thought we could talk about the museum.
Oh, the Museum of Art?
Yeah, Sam.
Sam, that's right, Seattle Art Museum.
Well, you know,
That
you were bringing up
museum.
sharks because, like, compared to the museums in Chicago, Seattle's just slammed by Chicago. I mean, consider the Shedd Aquarium where they have like dolphins circling and jumping. I mean, they do have those kind of things here. It's ironic
Yeah,
because the ocean's
but the
like
price
practically
is
here.
scaled to be.
That's
I
true.
enjoy the Seattle
But
Aquarium,
if you compare
but
the Art Institute of
no,
Chicago
it's
Art
not a
Institute versus the
comparison.
Sam, there's no comparison. It's more like
No.
the MCA
It
versus
was more like
this.
the MCA.
So we went to the Sam, which is a nice museum
It is
downtown.
a
Go on
nice
the free day
museum.
and the first Thursday of the month.
First Thursday of the month, yeah.
Yeah, otherwise you're gonna pay too much.
Unless you're old,
Yeah.
like senior citizen.
And I'm pretty sad that we missed the Louvre installment of coins from
I
Rome.
don't think it was coins. I think it was ancient art.
Well,
Well, there probably were some coins.
there must have been some coins
There were
'cause
probably a
it's
lot
the
of
easiest
coins.
thing for them to collect.
Coin
And
collectors start.
I've had a really, well, my appreciation for coins have grown immensely recently.
Yeah, those old coins, man, they look like they have a lot of chocolate inside of them.
They
They're
do,
like
because the bright
plump.
gold.
They're plump and they're bright gold and they got that smile on their face.
Do you ever
like,
eat gold coins?
Melted chocolate inside of me.
Gold coins are good.
Oh, yeah, they are.
The chocolate with the gold wrapper.
The spitgl.
But it's interesting. The coins are they stamped out, and you can see Caesar's face, but none of them are, like, the same. They're definitely kind of, like, you can tell they're poured into some kind of cheap mold that barely worked. And it, basically, the value is all in the weight of the gold and the coin. So I was really interested into biblical archaeology because of all these empires. I'm learning about the Babylonians, the Persians, Egyptians, Assyrians. The Syrians, which is different than Syria,
Syrians.
Which we've learned this year. And, you know, seeing these coins, I'm like, is this the coin that Jesus held up? And he said, you know, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. I want to see one of those coins. I haven't quite seen it because most of the coins are from Macedonia. I mean, you're
most
Greek.
Most of them.
Like 300 BC, Alexander.
Yeah, we did see one from like 60.
The Roman Empire, some of the like tetradrachma. I haven't seen a denarius yet. I probably have and didn't know it.
I thought there was one there.
I think it was, but I don't think it was like a Roman
denarius.
I might
go check it out. Well, I don't think it was all the time, but maybe.
Yeah. Tracy's going back. Going back for a wedding. So anyways, we went to the Sam. What did you think of the Sam? Anything in there that was interesting to you? Any comments on it in general? Good or bad?
It lacked focus. It lacked vision, but it was okay. I don't know.
It was fine for a free day.
It didn't have like a good flow. Like there was almost as much modern art, modern and postmodern art, as there was like classical and. So I felt like it was off kilter a little bit. In terms of its, it almost could have been a modern art museum.
It's just not the same, you know. It's like we were just so spoiled.
Well, you just
Chicago.
Have like you have one piece of this and one piece of that. You don't have any collection really.
You know,
you don't have like here's your collection of the Impressionists. Here's your collection of, you know, the Dadas. Here's your collection of this or that.
Dada.
That's
Is it Rocking
that,
Horse?
I heard that the other day.
Yeah. My dad always laughs about that. Here's a shout out to my dad. He listens to the podcast sometimes.
I mean, they did have like a little teeny bit of like the ancient Roman or African. They did have some Asian. There's actually a whole Asian art museum.
Yeah.
Which we'll probably check out at some point in time. Seattle Asian Art Museum. So they did have some of that. But, I mean, you can get, if you were just to walk and not really do much, scan the pictures, you can get through it in an hour.
The best thing I saw was a Winslow Homer. There wasn't really anything.
They had
else
the Warhol
really
print of Elvis and.
Yeah, I like the Winslow Homer. It wasn't even really like a famous Winslow Homer. I mean, it was, but not really.
I enjoy the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago more, just because sometimes
they
you
had
get
Dan Flavin there.
Dan Flavin.
I hate that guy.
But
it's like some
it's just
neon
like
lights in the corner. I'm
I
like,
really
that's
enjoy
not art.
Some multimedia art or multi, you know.
Modern art with the videos and stuff.
Unexpected things, like that one that we both saw with the video of the sheep and the accident that was totally staged.
Oh, the Romanian one.
That was pretty sweet.
That was awesome. It's like all these things, something's going
and
on.
And like
Lee
Bonacue, did you see Lee Bonacue in Chicago? No. Oh my goodness. That was just like unreal. Like that collection, that whole exhibit was just like ridiculous. And like, to see that, like, at one time, to have that one artist there displaying their whole, like, spectrum of work from when they were, like, in the 1970s to present and the evolution of that compared to, like, just going to the art museum there and having, like, bits and pieces of this and that. Like, you don't get, like, I don't know. I just didn't get a flow or I didn't get what was going on, really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's always, you know, it's always good to see a new art museum, but I wouldn't go back anytime soon if that's their permanent collection. Mm. I mean, their next collection, I think they're having an exhibit from, like, an Impressionist exhibit. I don't really know who it's going to be. I think that's what was coming.
Well, a lot of the modern art is so deeply sexual. It's kind of following, you know, art's almost following music now, to some extent, you know. It's like music is already really perverse.
Well, art's been perverse for a
long
time.
Yeah, but, like, I can flip the radio station and hear people talking about having sex with their stripper prostitute, but I don't see images that are overtly saying that to me. They're subliminally saying it. They're definitely subliminally saying that. But it's not like overtly saying
it. No, I disagree. I think there are some that are overtly saying that.
But not like continuously on the radio. Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe I just don't understand.
It's not. This is interesting. Like, you know, things. They're allowed to do certain art things. Like, there was an exhibit recently where this girl had done, like, an aborted fetus exhibit of some sorts. I don't really know the whole details of it. But, I mean, that raised some media attention, and some people were, like, saying, you know, should she really be doing this? But, you know, in the radio, you can be, like, talking about completely explicit actions, and no one even raises an eyebrow at it anymore.
Yeah.
Or on MySpace, I mean, my goodness, on YouTube, on MySpace.
I can't look at my
it's
YouTube.
It's just like, I mean, I can't even look at those sites anymore, because it's just, the front page pulls up stuff of, like, frequently viewed videos and things, and it's just like, you can't even.
It's all disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite an interesting.
I swear, every time I go there, it's just like, Top Chef, Top Chef, Top Model, Top Model,
that's
Top
my
Chef.
Big one searches.
I mean, what is the world coming to, you know?
I mean,
I'm like, before I know it, I'm going to be like, Top Fashion, something about fashion, making clothes, or I don't know.
Oh, please. That's all that's good with reality TV right now.
Oh, well. So, yeah. So, any thoughts for your blog?
Blog?
You want to pump your blog at all? No?
Yeah, I have some interesting cooking techniques and experiments coming up on the blog, and recently reviewed and discussed reading and disciplines and commentaries.
Mm-hmm. We're going to watch an anime movie tonight.
Yeah, I think this is the last Miyazaki movie that we have not seen.
Yeah.
If you know a good Miyazaki movie that's obscure, let us know, because we're
done. Even any good anime.
There is no good anime besides Miyazaki.
It's just all vampire stuff. And vampires and Miyazaki.
Yeah, that Vampire D was okay,
Pokemon.
But other than that, it was like,
Pokemon's probably got some goodness to it, just for the art form.
Maybe.
I'm sure it's all demons, but whatever.
We've already seen Princess Mononoke twice, Spirited Away several times.
Well, I've seen at least 10 times. Maybe not all the way through 10 times, but I've at least put it in 10 times.
Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind.
I saw that one twice.
I don't know.
My stomach's growling. Sorry, viewers. Yeah, anyway. I might write a podcast, or write a blog soon on Roman coins. But other than that, who knows what's going to happen. So
we're going to go into the mountains once these avalanches stop, so.
Yeah, you know.
Certainly the travel will continue.
Yeah, as a follow-up to the Portland
Hopefully
podcast.
Hopefully Alaska will happen soon.
Yeah, I think Leavenworth is definitely on the radar, and so is Vancouver.
Vancouver, Olympic National Park.
We're talking
Park.
About Olympic. It might. It's
we're
up
not
in
sure
air.
If we're good enough campers to do it.
Yeah, camping in the rains is kind of. We like to camp, but we're not hardcore enough. I want to go there. We might go there.
I think we'll go there and stay overnight somewhere.
We might have to, price line a bed and breakfast to do it. I want to go camping, but I guess I never really realized that it just is not fun to camp in the rain.
It's I never thought about it because I have not camped in the rain.
Because I'm always like, I want to go to Seattle, visit all the beautiful areas, but it's like, it's raining all winter.
In the summer.
You can't go up in the mountains because it's avalanche.
Well, Olympic National Park, it's raining all the time. Like, it's always raining.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's a rainforest.
You gotta be hardcore.
I guess you can't go to the rainforest and expect it not to rain.
Yeah, we're still figuring that out.
Friend.
Man,
yeah.
We gotta do kayaking with the orcas, but.
Well, more likely, we'll probably go camping at Rainier and Mount St. Helens.
Oh, that's what we thought about doing.
I think what we also are considering is doing a trip down to Redwood National Forest and go camping there and try to see Bigfoot. Bigfoot.
Or big tree.
Definitely big trees. But if you look on Google Earth, there's all these sightings of Bigfoot around.
Oh, really?
Redwood National
That's
Forest.
That's funny.
Because there's this website that deals with Bigfoot sightings. One of them is like, I saw Bigfoot and I was scared. I was in my Jeep at night and I saw him. I was scared. That was it.
We need an Aztec, man. Let's trade our Honda in for the Aztec, and we can camp out the back end.
I used to have a lot of hate. I used to be an Aztec hater. But there's kind of a point to sleeping in your car. You have to admit, form over function.
Dang.
Function over form.
I understand now.
Corey used to always mock form over function.
I'm totally about function. That's my thing.
Well, you know, I used to kind of like say when I was doing photography, I'm like, my camera's got to look nice. It's got to have a good feel. And then someone was like, look at this cheap camera. It's got a diamond in it. You want to spend $6,000 for a camera that's got a little diamond in it? I'm like,
Exactly.
Exactly. So that's the spirit of the world. So this has been Wyatt.
And Tracy.
And Peas.
And
A.
Pod.
Cast.
Podcast.
Out of here.